front pew. I'm enjoying it. I will tell you who I feel sorry for today. I feel a little bit sorry for Talon. You see how much I have him praying and reading scriptures? He'll be the most spiritual young person in the youth group. Well, I'm not picking on him. He's doing double duty. Someone else couldn't be here today. And so at the last minute, he offered graciously to take the person's place. So hope you don't feel too sorry for him. He can handle it. So I appreciate Talon doing that for me. I'd like to talk to you about the teenage years. What are they supposed to look like? Many of you may know me. I tend to challenge conventional wisdom. And on this issue as well, I like to challenge a little bit of conventional wisdom. The world has its ideas, and Scripture has something very different. So I want to look at the Scriptures and see, what does the Bible expressly say? What is the purpose of the teenage years? What should we be doing? Let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll begin to look at the Scriptures. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the many blessings of today. We thank you for the young people and their ministry, Lord, how you've worked in their hearts and their lives, and how they are able to minister. Lord, many young people this day outside this church, Lord, are not as fortunate, and they haven't experienced your grace the way these young people have, Lord. But we're thankful for the young people you've given us who are excited about you and are quick to minister, Lord. I pray you bless them. Give them many more years of fruitful service for you, we ask. In Christ's name, amen. So scripturally, okay, let's think here for a second. What does the Bible say about being a teenager? Is there some kind of an expectation we should have? Is it just a free-for-all? What's supposed to happen between this certain age? I heard one preacher give the advice that when they're 13, you put them in a barrel, you bury them in the backyard. When they're 19, you dig them back out, and you're able to enjoy them. This is, of course, terrible advice, terrible, terrible advice. And all of you that laughed, you're unspiritual. If you smirked, you're borderline. No, I say this jokingly because a lot of times people don't know what's supposed to happen. What's supposed to happen? People have no idea. And I think the Bible has clear direction for us. My father wanted to help us when we were kids. And the way my father would help people is the way he liked to be helped. So he would buy books for you. Okay, if he has a problem, he'd get all the books. He'd read them all in a couple days. He'd know the answer. It was amazing. Very wise man. He has all these books. He's always reading them. So when we were 12 and a half, he'd give us this book. Each one of us kids, we were required to read this book to help us to know what to do when we became teenagers. And this is the name of the book. Caution, Changes, Preparing for Adolescence. And it had a couple teenagers smirking, and they were sitting on a little sign that had a big caution sign, and they were wearing jeans that were whatever. They were cool. So we were supposed to read this book, and it's written from a Christian perspective, but it's soup to nuts on this. So as a 12-and-a-half-year-old, I mean, I was very impressionable. It didn't take much to frighten me. To this day, I don't even like heights. If I walk on a thick carpet, I get nervous. You know, it doesn't take much to scare me. And at this age, I was very impressionable as a 12-and-a-half-year-old, so I open up this book, and it's like, what's supposed to happen to me? I don't know what's supposed to happen to me, so I'm going to read this book. And I get to the first chapter. It says something like this: you will be very socially awkward. And I thought, yeah, I can see that. I've had people talk to me about the way I've dressed, and some people, I used to tell a lot of jokes. There wasn't a lot of positive response, though. People used to look at me. And so I thought, bummer, you know? I'm going to turn 13. It's going to be downhill from there. And I started to get kind of depressed. You know, it takes a lot to get me down. Usually if I'm real tired, if I can rest for a day or two, then I'm fine. Like, I'm usually happy again. But I fell into this cloud of depression, you know, socially awkward. You know, oh no, what do I do now? I didn't know what to do. And so I didn't know these are things that could happen. I thought this is what had to happen, okay? I had no discernment at this age, and I was very impressionable. My siblings read this, so you don't know. My dad's not trying to torture me. My siblings all read the same book, and it was helpful and useful for them. But for some reason, I don't think I had the tools at the time to kind of evaluate what I was reading. I just took it all in. So I was kind of depressed a little bit. So I turned to the next chapter. Well, this will encourage me. I'm socially awkward. Things will get better from here. And the next chapter is something like this: you probably have no friends. And I thought, double check. I really had no friends back then. I really The kids at church made fun of me. Maybe I was a little awkward, whatever else. They thought our family was crazy. I mean, this is California, so I mean we weren't allowed to get the, you remember the two-level haircuts, remember that? You shave part of your head and part of it grows out. We weren't allowed to do that, you know, so the kids thought we were just out of it or whatever. So I thought I got more depressed. So then I thought, well, if I keep reading, things will get better here. So I was more depressed. I kept reading. And it says, because of these problems, you will be depressed most of the time. I thought, once again, I'm feeling depressed. And finally, I read one more chapter before I eventually threw this book in the garbage. The next chapter is, thoughts of suicide are common. And I thought, you know what, this is enough of this book. And I threw the book away, and I never told my dad. I never actually finished that one. But it was too much for me. You know, I tell this story, and it's somewhat humorous, but there is a point to be made here that the expectations you have as a teenager, the expectations you put on your young people, it does affect the way they act. It does affect the way they see life, okay? You can put the wrong expectation on them and send them in the wrong direction. So it's very important that we're biblical in our thinking about this time. The transition period, it's very important that we see these changes in the right way. Now, obviously you have children growing into adults. There's physical changes. They grow. If you're some of the guys, all they ever think about and they dream about is food, perhaps. They're constantly eating or sleeping, and it's like you just kind of watch them grow, and they constantly need new clothes. And this is common. They grow physically. They also grow socially, okay? When they're little kids, they play maybe one or two of them together. By the time they're teenagers, though, they're aware of what everyone else around them thinks. You know, you don't want to mess up the group here. There's a group dynamic here, and they're very conscious of what other people perhaps think because they're growing in awareness. This happens to the boys discover that girls exist and vice versa. Up until this point, they're under the impression that cooties rules the day, but eventually they're like, you know, she's not that bad, and so we have to talk to them. But anyway, they become more socially aware. They grow in emotions, okay? They're dealing with different things. You can have high highs. You can have low lows. You grow emotionally, okay? You don't have to be depressed. That's a myth. That's a lie. When I threw that book out, that's the last day I was depressed for a long time. Okay? You don't have to. You can control your... God can help you, just like adults, okay? God can help you with your emotions. God can help you keep things on an even keel if you are plugged into God's Word and He can give you strength. But you deal with a lot of new things. You're growing in your talents, okay? Teens like to try new things. We have games. I don't understand them. The kids are all having fun and I'm confused, but they're growing in their abilities. They're trying new things. They're growing in responsibility, hopefully. They're taking on new responsibilities. Sometimes they think they need more responsibility. Maybe they're not ready for all those things just yet. But they're growing in the area of making choices and thinking and learning. So, during this time of the teenage years, what should be the expectation? Well, I'd like to begin with what the world expects. This is the conventional wisdom. What the world says is, over here you have children playing irresponsibly. You take care of them. On this side, you have adults. Adults have kids, responsibility, they pay bills, they have to be at work on time, they have responsibility. But in between here, okay, you've got this window of time, okay? You have a body of adult, but you have the responsibility of a child. So this is your chance to live life and to have fun. This is your big opportunity to be goofy, to waste your time, to play every possible level of the video game and to have the most thrills. You need to be out wasting time and money. This is your chance to sow your wild oats. You know, and I've heard this, well, they're rebellious as teens. I can't help it. They can't help it. That's how they are. And this is what the world would say. Of course you're going to be rebellious. That's how it has to be. Of course you're not going to achieve much with your life. Of course you're going to blow off academics. You know, of course, you're going to need the latest clothing fashion. You got to impress your friends, right? This is how it is. If you're a teen, you've got to be popular. You have to have people notice you. If you're a guy, a girl has to notice you. If you're a girl, a guy has to. Because if people don't notice you, then you're not important. You have no worth or value in the way God made you. Your value in is what the group says about you. This is why you've got to dress right. You've got to distinguish yourself. You have to prove something. And you as a parent, if you don't take them to the mall and spend the money on whatever the latest fancy shoe is by whichever superstar, you're just a bad parent. Right? You mean they have to work to pay for things? My goodness, don't you love your child? There's no thought of character. Now, I'm telling you things I'm sure you already know. The world has already told you. There's expectations on what a teen has to do. And there's a low expectation on what should be done. The world says the point of the teenage years, the greatest goal, is to goof off and have fun. And a good parent allows that. But this is wrong. This is not what God's Word teaches at all. God's Word is very clear on the purpose of this time. So let's look back at Scripture and define this period of time. So we have the small child over here. You have the adult over here. What does the Bible define as between these two areas? If you have your Bibles, Galatians chapter 4. I just have a couple references to read, and some of them I'll just read to you. But Galatians chapter 4. Let's begin in verse 1. So in Galatians, I should back up. Paul's talking about, he's contrasting what it's like to be under the law versus what you are now, and he's going to use the metaphor of growing up. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. So, have you ever felt like your parents treated you like you're just a servant? In Bible times, you were. How's that? And they didn't even try to hide it. They say, you are a servant. When you're a young child, your job is to serve. So this young child, I mean, he inherits everything. He's going to be wealthy someday. But until he grows up, what is he? He's just a servant. He has to learn to be a servant first. So in this, you have the child, the servant, and then you have him on the other hand, he's grown up. What's in between here? Think about this. 1 Corinthians 13:11. Paul talks about, uses the metaphor of the incomplete, talking about revelation. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. What was between those two? Under Jewish tradition, when a boy became 13, he had his bar mitzvah and he was responsible. Girls were 12, they had their bat mitzvah and they became responsible for themselves. In the middle here, what's in the middle here? Responsibility. I'm sorry if I'm the one to break this to you. Over on this side, you have a child. On this side, you have an adult. In between, what do you have? This age right now you're at, you have responsibility. Now, granted, you don't have as much responsibility as you will have, but these years in your life are precious and valuable years to be invested for eternity. There is no middle period where you get to goof off. I'm sorry to say this to you. Now, I will say there's a time of development in there, okay? I acknowledge this. So, what is the purpose of the teenage years? What is the purpose of this? What are you supposed to do during this time? Well, you're not fully an adult. You don't have 7 kids and a mortgage just yet, okay? And you're still growing. I would submit to you from Scripture that the purpose of the teenage years are to develop your talents for Christ's service. Did you get this? Is it sinking in? I'm going to say this again, because I think this is really good, even if I have to say it myself. The purpose of the teenage years are to develop your talents for Christ's service. I would like to give you some scriptural examples. 1 Samuel chapter 2, and the child Samuel grew and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. 1 Samuel 3:19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he did not let none of his words fall to the ground. God was with Samuel. None of his words fell to the ground. What does that mean? Does that metaphor puzzle you at all? His words did not fall to the ground. This is hard to understand. Well, this metaphor is a metaphor referring to archery, okay? An archer takes the arrow, shoots it towards the target. If it falls to the ground, it didn't make it to the target. It missed. But the expression is, his words did not fall to the ground. It hit the mark. It hit the mark. In essence, what Samuel said to be true, even as a young person, if he said it, it happened. People came to trust in him. He became a dependable, reliable source of information. Okay? Working in the temple, speaking for the Lord, working with the priests, when Samuel said something, it had weight. People sat up and listened. When Samuel said it, it didn't fall to the ground. It happened. Wouldn't you love to have a teenager like that? I got all my homework done, Dad, and you knew instantly, oh, of course. This person is 100% responsible. His words aren't going to fall to the ground. What he says will happen. This is the picture we should follow. Another example, 1 Timothy 4:12. What was Timothy? Now, Timothy at this point is a pastor. Perhaps he's even as late as 30. But in his culture, he was seen as young, so I'm going to lump him in with us. But the advice that Paul gives to Timothy, I think it applies to teenagers because it applies to young people. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Why not? Be an example. People shouldn't look down on you because of the way that you act. I'm going to have a little lecture here. This isn't in my notes. This always means trouble. But do you want to know what leadership is? Everyone thinks leadership is a title. And perhaps it can be. Leadership is not just a title. There was one Sunday I wasn't a pastor. They took a vote. The next Sunday I was. Do you know what? Between those 2 days, I was just as much of a leader. I didn't need a title to become more a leader or less of a leader. Leadership is how you act. Young people, specifically. I'm talking to you, young people. Do you want people to respect you? You have to earn it by the way you act. You know, you can have an impact without having to stand up here. You can have an impact by the way people look at your life. They can say, that's a person that really believes what they say. I've been in churches where the strongest leader in the church was not behind the pulpit. I was in a church once. There was an 80-year-old man who used to sit in the front. And no matter what happened, every man of the church would just run to him and ask him what he thought. Because they came to trust his wisdom, his judgment. Over the years, this guy is always right. He believes what he says. He lives it. And I'll tell you, after a while, you know his advice became after the first couple of years I was in this church? Go talk to the pastor. I shouldn't be telling you this. He wasn't there to usurp the pastor's authority. But people saw in him the characteristic of leadership. I think of in Scripture, there's the widow Dorcas, okay? And when she passes away, what's it say? The whole church takes a hit because of her spirit, her giving, her sharing, the way that she encouraged the church, the way she encouraged the believers. Here's an old widow woman, and yet the whole church is drawing that strength of character from her. She is a leader. Young folks, you may not be a leader in the sense that you have some fancy title or that you're older, but you can be a leader in the way you act, and people can look to you. If you want people to get tired of you as a young person, I'm tired of young people, change their attitude by the way you act. The way you act will determine the way people respond to you. And your parents will trust you. When you prove dependable, there's the story of a family, and they have a lot of children, and the children are upset. The father's always getting on to them. And the one son says to his father, "Dad, when are you going to let me make my own decisions? I'm tired of your decisions." And the dad says to him, "Yeah, that day will come. When you can make the right decision on your own, I will let you make your own decisions. And there's a lot of wisdom in that. The father knew the son wasn't ready. Let's look at the life of Christ. How did Christ grow? This at the end of Luke 2:52, the whole life of Christ, or his youth, is encapsulated in a sentence. Okay? Here's his whole youth in one sentence. You ready for it? It goes by quick. So here it goes. And this is, if I could have lived this when I was a young person, this would have been fabulous. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God, and in favor with man. I could preach a whole sermon on that right there. I will not. I will summarize some thoughts on this, though. Jesus increased in wisdom. How does he grow? Mental aptitude, mental abilities. Okay. Jesus would not have played video games. He would have studied for his test. You need some application. There it is. He grew in his mental abilities. Number two, in stature, physical talents, physical abilities. This verse means that he would have played in the gym over here. He would have played basketball, I've decided, based on this one verse. I may be reading into it a little bit. He grew in his physical abilities. He developed them. How does he grow? He grows in favor with God, in favor with man, in favor with God. He spent time praying to his Father. He spent time reading his daily scroll reading. He didn't have a Bible back then. He would have read his scroll and memorized it. He grew in favor with man. He learned how to get along with people. Now, I'm great at dealing with people. As long as they think just like me, it's no problem, right? But this doesn't take any maturity. What takes maturity is to get along with other people who are not like you and who do not think like you. And Christ learned how to talk to people and relate to people. This is what Christ did. It's interesting. The Greek word translated increased, it has the idea of chopping your way forward. Okay, that's hard to imagine. But he made this path. He worked towards this goal. He didn't just passively do these things and grow and increase. He chopped his way forward. He worked. He cleared a path. He made this happen. He worked towards this goal. The purpose of the teenage years is to develop your talents to serve Christ. Okay? This should be the center of what we do. Developing our talents to serve Christ. I'll be honest with you in a moment of honesty here. When I pick the different roles for the different teens, my first choice is not always the natural fit. Okay? I have a handful of kids that I think are superstars that can stand in front of a group of people and there's no fright there at all. Those kids don't need to be up here as much, I think. I try to pick kids that it's going to stretch them a little bit because they need to learn how to grow. And they know that from the last time we had different people doing different things. And this time we have someone different. We want them to continue to grow, continue to develop, to try new things. Okay? This is your big chance. When you're young, this is a chance to develop your talents and to learn new things. Okay? When you get old, you get locked into place. You're not locked into place yet. Praise God. This is our chance to use you. This is a chance to learn new things. There's some ways, though, that I think we need to grow in the Lord as young people. Okay? I'm supposed to grow. That's the purpose of being a youth. So how should I grow? Any specific suggestions you'd have? Any applications of this? As a matter of fact, I have three applications of this. Three ways that you need to grow as a young person. Number one, grow in your walk with the Lord. Grow in your walk with the Lord. This seems so basic, but I will tell you, the world. If you can imagine the real world is like a highway, and cars are just buzzing by, okay? And imagine you're on one of those on ramps. Imagine you're you're sitting next to me in one of my cars, okay? And maybe there's some rust on the door, something like this. And you have to speed up to get onto that freeway. And that freeway is going so fast. And you've got to get to speed and go to it. This is what it's like when you're growing up. You have to grow spiritually because there's challenges in life that you have to be ready for, okay? And if you're wasting your time, if you're goofing off, if you're not spending time in God's Word, when the pressure of life comes, you're not going to be ready to merge into that. You won't be up to that speed. You need to be growing right now in your walk with the Lord. You need to take your time in God's Word seriously. You need to pray. Pray for your family. Pray for your parents. Being a parent's not easy. But right now, develop those spiritual habits. Learn to ask God when you have a need. You know, God can answer your prayers just like He answers your parents' prayers. I mean, you may have questions right now in your life. You know, what am I going to do when I graduate? This is an excellent one. Take it before the throne of grace. Try it out. Pray and see what God says. If I were you, I'd pray for my grades. The Bible says ask. I personally ask for all kinds of things. I ask for money. I ask for my home, my family, my wife, my kids. I prayed for a long time my wife would have a child. You know, the Bible says to ask. Why do we limit it? I say, go ahead and ask. I would say, pray. Pray that God will use you. But learn to walk with the Lord right now. This is the best time to learn to walk with the Lord. Right now. Right now. You're setting that course for your life. This is the time. This is the best time. You know how I mentioned how some teens are all depressed and they have all these other problems and issues and whatever else, they're all moody and everything else? Take that same teenager, plug them into the Scriptures, plug them into prayer, and see if it doesn't smooth out the rough edges of their life. God's Word works for teenagers too. If there's ever a time to live for the Lord, if there's ever a time to read your Bible, it's right now. This is the time you need God the most. Okay? This isn't the time to waste time. This is the time to walk closer to the Lord. So, if I was a teenager all over again and I need to develop my talent, I would start with my walk with the Lord. Secondly, this is going to hurt. I'm just going to warn you now. Be ready for this. I won't quote Ephesians 6 to you. I'm sure most of you know it by heart. Grow in your relationship with your parents. Dagger to the heart. Grow in your relationship with your parents. I don't know what happens. One day, you leave the house, and all the stuff they tried to teach you, it stays at home sometimes. And you have to get banged around in the real world, and you're like, oh yeah, didn't mom and dad talk to me about something like this? You know, your boss yells at you. Yeah, something about responsibility. I know they said something. Man, I wish I had been listening. That would have been real helpful right about now. I don't know what it is. I think it takes us time to catch on. Listen, enjoy your parents while you can. Learn from them. God gave you your parents for a reason. Now, me as a youth pastor, there's times when I want to tell you things, but I'm not your parent. Your parent needs to tell you things. My job is to support the parents. The parents are the greatest influence in your life that you have. And my goal is to be as supportive of your parents as I can be. Because your parents will have the greatest impact on you and your future. And you know what else? Your parents know you better than anyone else. You can fool me. Okay? It's not hard. It happens all the time. But I've had parents talk to me. Now watch this one when he does that. And I thought, what, this kid would not, oh yeah, you're right. I never realized the parent came and talked to me. My eyes were opened. Parents know you so well. They have the same DNA. And a lot of times they spent their whole life watching you. And a lot of times you're just like them. I used to make fun of my dad for his driving. You know, come on, Dad, you drive like an old person, right? Cars are going around us. Cars are honking. This is my dad. I'm saving gasoline. I'm driving slow. Now my wife says to me, now, honey, cars are passing us. I say, honey, we're saving gas. You be quiet about that. It's sad. It's sad. I'm becoming just like my father. Your parents know you, young people. You need to listen to them. If I had a time machine, I could have gone back in time and talked to myself. I would have said, please. These people can save you a lot of heartache if you would just listen to them. Don't get caught up in all the things they do. You know, just focus on what they're trying to teach you. They have a lot to share. And I've told this to the teens before. When I was 13 years old, my mom sat me down And she told me who I would marry. To the T. To the letter. To the point when I met my wife, it checked all the boxes. And I thought to myself, how does she know this? This is crazy. Your parents know you. They know how you think. They know what you need. I've had parents talk to me, and you know what? Every time I talk to a parent and they tell me what they thought their kids needed, every time I think about it, I'm like, there's wisdom in this. This kid has this habits. He needs this. Don't let him get away with this. And I think, yeah, that makes sense. Listen, trust me. I'm on the other side, reaching back to you on the teenage side. Your parents know you. They want to help you. They love you. Honor them. Listen to them. Don't waste the time you have with them now. Before you know it, you'll be away from them and you'll have missed the lessons they taught. You'll miss the little wisdom they tried to share with you. Make the most of it now. Okay, I won't belabor that point anymore. You all feel sufficiently harassed by me, but listen to your parents. It'll pay off. Number three way to grow for a young person. I would say develop your physical talents. Develop your physical talents. Develop your abilities. Learn to play an instrument. Learn to sing. These are things that you can do the rest of your life. You can go to a church in the middle of nowhere, and if you can play the piano, they will just fall over and say, please come to our church. I am always surprised how few piano players are out there that are just good players. Now, we are blessed in this church, but you're not going to live here the rest of your life, I'm guessing. I'd like you to stay here forever, but realistically, you probably won't. Be useful to the Lord. Learn music. If you can sing, if you can stand up here, you know, pick a song, wave the beat out and so people can follow. You can lead. This is such a valuable tool. You can serve the Lord. And I'm going to say what's next. I'm just going to come out and say it. You can even develop your abilities in sports. I think sports is healthy. I'm not a great athlete, but I will tell you, I wish I had a dollar for every time I've been able to witness someone on a basketball court or a softball field. I mean, I have this much talent. It opens doors. There's a place for sports. Now, I'm not here to say fall in love with sports. You know, in some churches, it's an idol, and people go way too far. If you're going to go way too far, I'd rather say just, you know, it's not all that there is in life. You have to keep proper perspective. But God can use things like this. God can use music. God can use sports. God can use mental abilities. God can use your mind. This is a chance. You have more free time. I know you think you're busy. You have more free time now than you can dream of later, okay? You have free time. Turn off the PlayStation, okay? It'll be there later. The PlayStation is not helping you, okay? I don't care what your score is. Open a book. Read the classics. Develop your mind. Learn something about the real world. If you can learn stuff about the real world, music, sports, there's just all kinds of computers. The list is endless. Mechanics. You'll be surprised how many people you can connect with, how many people you can share the gospel with, okay? If you have something in common with someone, it opens up all kinds of fields of conversation. You can have all kinds of ways to witness. This is why I'm going to say at this age, go out, try new things, okay? Be adventurous. Learn new things. Try new things. I'm not against having fun. Go and enjoy things, okay? There's all kinds of things that are available to you. Develop your talents. Use them for Christ. Now, we're not just doing this to goof off. I think you can have fun and be in God's will at the same time. I don't think it's mutually exclusive. I'll go one step further than this, though. I think the person that's in the center of God's will can have the most fun because they have God's joy. Not because they're doing something illegal or something terrible, but because God gives them peace and joy in what they're doing. So, let's talk about these years. What are we going to do with this gift that God has given us? You know, do you have to be depressed and rebellious? No, you do not have to be. It doesn't have to be this way. Do you have to be popular? Do you have to worry about what everyone else thinks about you? No. A lot of the people you try to impress later on in life, some of the people from my youth group, okay? Now remember, I was a nerd, and I freely admit it. I don't even try to hide it. But the cool kids now, I look at their lives, and they're not living for the Lord the way they should. And yet I was so worried about what they thought. And I think, why? Looking back, why would you care what this person thinks? Don't worry about what people think about you. Rather, you can have fun by investing your time, by developing your talents, by serving Christ right now and learning to develop ways to serve Christ now. I want you to live a life of victory right now. These can be great years that you enjoy. This can be a window that God can use and bless you. I want to want one more thing here. Blessed. What does the word blessed mean? A simple definition is it can mean happy. But I heard this definition, and I want you to think about this. This definition of blessing. Blessed is when everything runs the way God designed it to run. To have a blessed life is when you live your life according to what God has designed. When things run the way God designed them to run, that is blessed. That's what I want for you. I want you to have a blessed youth. Listening to your parents, developing your talents, you know, being involved, participating, new activities. There's a host of activities. I've just listed a few of them. But using your gifts, trying new things, these should be some of the happiest years you'll ever have. God can use you, God can bless you, and God can set you on a long path to come. I hope as a young person that God's using you. I hope you see the gift you're given as a young person and you're not just wasting it, you're not just throwing it away on frivolous things that you're not going to be able to use later. No, if you really want to have an enjoyable time as a young person, use your gifts. Use what Christ has given you, okay? Let the Lord work in your heart. Listen to God's Word. Read God's Word. Pray. Make the most of what God has given you. And you know what I hope? I hope 20 years from now, we'll see all these young people, and I hope we'll see them serving the Lord, taking what they've learned here, taking it to heart, growing in their faith, using all these outward talents, but keeping them in the right perspective, putting God first. And I hope God will use each one of you in a powerful way. This is my prayer. This is what I hope for you. Let's bow our heads together.